I think that social media programs that are built solely for driving awareness are almost always destined to fail. And the reason is not that they don't achieve their objective, but that they're almost always misaligned. And I'm using those words intentionally, almost always. Not always, but almost.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan Gandolf here, founder and CEO of Audience Plus, where I'm thrilled to be joined by Darian Payton today. We're going to have a fun conversation on all things kind of social, what's happening in the B2B marketing space, maybe some of the implications of the merger of social and B2B and what that means for demand gen and ABM and events and everything in between. Darian's warned me he has a strong opinion on a lot of things and he loves presenting those without context. No, I'm just kidding. He said he'll only present his hottest takes with the best context. So, Darian, why don't I stop rambling? And in your own words, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're up to, and your background.
Yeah. Thanks, Jonathan, for having me on. So, as you've already mentioned, run an agency called Antidote. We are a creative demand agency. And that, I know us marketers, we like to come up with our own terms. So we come up with our own name for how we want to position ourselves as an agency. But we're a social first creative agency. And we think that creative should drive demand. And so we've come up with this phrase called creative demand, which I think perfectly encapsulate everything that we try to do. We try to focus on creativity. We've tried to focus on driving demand. We are solely focused on the B2B software space, fintech, martech, or go-to-marketing enablement. So everything sales tech, martech, all of the things in between is our sweet spot. I mean, we've been doing it for about the last 3 years, coming up on 3 years, actually. And yeah, that's our thing.
I love it. I'm resisting the urge to jump right into the creative demand conversation because—
Oh, let's do it.
It is the Content Cocktail Hour, though, so we have to ask, maybe pun intended, our icebreaker question. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Okay, so great question. I don't have a single answer, as true to my own nature. So the very first thing I'd say is I've been trying out Firebelly Tea by Harvey Finkelstein, Shopify president. I think that's correct. Nevertheless, Firebelly Tea, which is one of his brands, really great tea brand. I am reducing my alcohol intake. And so I haven't been drinking as much as of late. Outside of that, I do a subscription with Cometeer, which is like a direct delivery coffee brand. They're pretty good too. So I've been like really expanding my palate for both teas, coffee, and wines. So again, not a single answer, but somewhere in between one of those threes, you'll probably find me enjoying a drink.
I feel like it's a classic marketer answer, though. It depends, right?
It depends.
On the situation. Yeah, I love it. You're versatile. We'll call it that.
Yes.
Okay, well, speaking of versatility here, you said creative demand, and you believe creative should drive demand. You know, we come from the content space, and I think that's always, content's this weird animal where sometimes it's treated as a creative asset, and like brand awareness is the goal, and it sits with the creative team or the brand team. Other times it's purely a conversion asset, right? And the goal with content is driving demand and driving leads and pipeline. It sounds like what you're maybe recommending is that's the wrong way to think about it at all, because I think a lot of marketing teams are split between a creative and a demand side of the team and where content falls drives that. Can you maybe talk more about how and maybe some examples of creative driving demand?
Here's how I would explain this to a prospect or how we even talk about it with our own clients. Creative is a function of demand. So if you are thinking about in 2025, how you generate demand for a B2B SaaS or B2B software company or any company for that matter, the first thing you're going to be thinking about is how do we get attention? And the answer to that is creativity. So you can't drive demand without attention. You can't get attention without creativity. And so as a byproduct, if you think about creative demand as two separate or creative and demand as two separate things, you're probably not going to get either. That, I think, lays a foundation for what we think, how we think about the work that we do, which is if you're thinking about content, should it be solely for the brand awareness aspect or objective, or should it focus on driving demand? Probably both. And the ways that you do that is you think about what are our particular opinions about this space or this topic that we were writing on, like, get really opinionated. We have a saying around here about not straddling the fence. And we're like really big on that. Like, no, take a side. And that's not a unique opinion of ours, but it's something we really strongly believe in, is like, you should take a side. The other part of that is, should we be focusing on demand? Should this have some sort of bottom line effect? And I feel like a lot of marketing teams get caught up in this idea that that the work they do maybe shouldn't always affect the bottom line. Shot and then chaser. Here we go. If you don't do work that affects the bottom line, you won't have a job.
Chaser.
That's just it. Chaser. Everything you do doesn't have to be boring in order to drive bottom line business impact. And so in every single activity, bottom line business impact may not be the primary objective. And so I think, as a kind of reeling this in, the way that I would explain this concept is, creative is a function of demand. If you want to drive demand in 2025, you have to be creative, because that's the only way you're going to get attention. If you want to keep your job, you have to drive demand, because marketing teams are having this expectation to actually produce bottom line results. And that's a great thing for us. And I'll explain why. The chaser part is, well, I explained the chaser, but the example parts of this, who does a great job. One thing I use as a common example, because I think it was just so absurd. There is a company called Antimetal. They are a software company that helps you save on AWS costs. And as part of their launch for their brand, they spent money buying and branding these personal pizza boxes. And they sent out pizzas to a bunch of New York and San Francisco investors and potential clients or potential customers and just random people. And they posted about it. The founder posted about it on social. He eventually went on to do a news story about this campaign. And here was the results of this campaign. So it's a random pizza box promoting a software company. $15,000 in spend, over $1 million in pipeline driven in the first couple of days of the, and I think in the first 24 hours of this campaign. That is creative demand. How do we get attention? We do something really crazy. We're going to send out free pizza boxes with our branding on it that everybody's going to be like, what is going on here? Who is this company that sent us this? How do we focus on demand? We're going to send it directly to the people who we want to get in touch with and figure out ways to get attention about it. And then we're going to post it on social. We're going to tell everybody we did this random thing, this absurd thing. It's going to get us a lot of attention. It drove a couple million impressions across social channels. And that is the way that we think about creative demand for all companies. We think that sort of application, at least it's one of the plays that we think will work across B2B.
I love that. The last company I was at, one of the most successful campaigns we ran was a fax campaign. We literally faxed prospects and customers our latest ebook to capture their attention, right? But I love the shot and chaser concept there. That's kind of a mic drop for the show. That example is really awesome. Now, you mentioned Antidote is social first, and I know you've been at it a couple of years, but it feels like B2B is specifically kind of at this crescendo of thinking about social a lot more seriously than maybe previously, and thinking about it from the individual level, whether that's empowering your own company employees to become creators or influencers, or empowering your executives to be more active on social, or partnering with influencers and creators in your space who might not even work at your company. I'm curious, as like a social first marketing agency, like I imagine there's probably good things to that, more people looking for social help, but it's also creating more noise. So how do you work with your clients, or how do you encourage B2B brands who are trying to think more about social to stand out from all of the noise right now?
Ooh, that's actually a great question. So it's always going to lean back to something that, typical marketer answer, it depends. I think the most foundational thing, and maybe even the worst thing that happened to marketing, especially B2B, is the loss of strategic value. Like the value of strategic activities, rather, is a better way to say it. And the reason I say that is because there are a bunch of different paths that brands can take. There are a lot of examples of a lot of different things working, but without context for your specific audience, for your specific company, for your specific skill sets, for your specific budget, it's really difficult to know what to do. And the fact that there are so many people who are now freelancers or create full-time content creators, or even just internal employees or senior leadership teams and founders and CMOs who are now creating content about the best practices and the things that they're doing, it is so much to intake that if you don't have a value for strategic activities, for thinking about the context, and the way that we think about strategy is, what is the context? What are the constraints? And then we can decide a plan after that. It's going to be very difficult to figure out. So now that we've laid that foundation, that the very first thing is we need to understand our context and constraints. The way that we talk to, or we tell brands, or the way that we advise them to think about it, I shouldn't say we tell anyone to do anything. The way that we advise them to think about it is across a few different things. We think that social works best when you have a marketing engine that is already running, you're already doing things outside of social. So if you're trying to create a social program and the only thing that you have to feed your social program is the content you're writing on social, the content that is going into your Twitter draft, it's probably not going to work out. You need to have more going on with the rest of your marketing program, of marketing org as a whole. That is number one. Now, when we dive into what to do about it, you're going to hear a bunch of different tactics. You're going to hear founder-led content. You're going to hear creators. You're going to hear B2B influencers. You're going to hear ABM dinners, campaigns. You're going to hear a bunch of different things. What to do is, again, contextual, but we do think that we've figured out a program that if you are firing on all cylinders, you should probably have some version of this. Number one, it starts with taste, which is now a buzzword happening in B2B marketing. We've been saying it for a while, but it's something that we think about, and it's a very specific thing. We call it a taste profile. It has three elements. Number one is your brand's POV on the category. So what do you think? Going back to a point I made earlier, you have to choose a side. You have to choose something. You cannot straddle the fence. Number two is, what is going to be your brand's personality? How do you behave? How do you interact? What types of jokes do you tell? What types of memes might you post if you're going to post memes? Do you post memes at all? It's okay to be a serious brand. I'll tell you, one of my favorite brands right now at marketing is Stripe. They are the nerdiest people you will ever meet in your life. There is nothing cool about them other than the fact that they are nerds. But they are really good at catering to other nerds. I mean, who else is thinking about payments? Nerds. So it is great for them. And by the way, I don't mean nerds in a derogatory way. I'm a nerd.
Nerds
too,
are cool now.
Yes, nerds are cool. But they really, really do a great job at that. And all of their marketing, Stripe Press, for example, is amazing brand marketing. And it's probably making them money on top of that. But that's a different point. Okay, so your brand personality. You do not have to be a funny, unhinged brand. Most B2B companies cannot pull it off anyway, but you probably shouldn't. You don't have to be unless it's true to your core DNA. The last thing is your creative expression, your visual identity, the way that you kind of approach it. So that's taste. When you're doing this well, you'll also have the talent brand. You'll have the founder-led content. You'll have people who are posting content for you. SMEs, this is a big point. Have the people who are subject matter experts talk about the subject matters that they are experts in. Don't have your salespeople talking about cybersecurity expertise in the industry movements. They don't know cybersecurity. They know sales. And then the last thing, you'll probably be running some sort of campaigns. You'll be thinking about ways to get your brand out, that creative demand concept again. You'll be thinking about ways to get your brand out in front of your customers, in front of your potential audience, in a way that gets their attention, makes your brand memorable. Very long answer, but the point there is, first of all, figure out where you are. If you're a smaller brand, maybe social matters for you. Maybe it doesn't. If you have budget, go for it. I'm all for it because it is a great way to get attention and it's a great way to drive low-cost leads if you're thinking about low-cost as like direct cost for the program or for the content that you're promoting. If you're a larger brand, you need to be thinking about who inside your company can create content if you're going to go the talent brand route. Do we have a taste profile? Do we know like what our brand's personality is? Do we know what we believe? And if you can nail those things, then social becomes a lot more valuable as a program.
I love that you've defined taste. I think you're right. It's become a buzzword in this space, but I love that you actually have kind of those three pillars that define it and just give brands something to lean on or something to go back to and create some consistency in what they are doing. Going back to the demand part, outside of social ads, which I know is not what you're talking about when you talk about social, but how does a brand then take this taste that they are now applying to their social channels with their team, with their brand, with their POV, with their personality? How do you actually convert that into demand? How should a business that's trying to start doing that get started?
campaigns. This is one of the most interesting and maybe counterintuitive opinions that we have about social media. If you are a brand that is intending to start a social media or invest more in a social media program for the sake of demand, you need to be running campaigns. Do not rely on founder-led content unless you are a small brand and your founder is basically the only person who could potentially market the company. Don't rely on that to be the way that you drive pipeline and demand for the business, because it's, one, going to take too long. And if you are a CMO or head of marketing or sole marketing leader in a small brand and you're talking about an investment that won't pay off for 12 or 18 months or even 6 months, you're probably not going to get the sort of support that you want. So that's that. What you would instead do is focus on ways to get in front of your audience that is social first. Why social first? Because we want our audience to be talking about us. We want to generate conversations about us. We don't want our brand to be talking about ourselves to our audience. Why do I say that? Because a lot of times when we think about campaigns, we think about ways for us to get all of our team members involved in promoting our new ebook or our new tool or something like that. It doesn't really work when you're thinking about ways to talk about yourself. So you're developing a campaign that will generate attention, that will get people talking. And don't be afraid to reach out to some folks and let them know, hey, we're doing this cool thing. Gifting is a great strategic layer to a distribution layer to pretty much any campaign. If you can think about ways to come up with a physical, preferably a physical, but maybe even a digital gift that you can send to people to get them talking about whatever the campaign is, great. Lean into video. If you can think about ways to lean into video to personify the brand, that's another great thing. There are other plays too. There is just general, like, being very active on social. You could brute force your way, just being like incredibly visible and always there. How do we come up with campaigns? The way that we think about it is we look at a few different vectors. What's happening in the industry? What's happening in a company? What's maybe something that is just like trending in general national pop culture? If there is an industry conference, if there is a big dinner, if there's a big industry moment, maybe something happens, a competitor drops out, or there's a big invention or technological advancement. Those are things that we look at for potential triggers for a campaign. Product launches, funding announcements, new pricing and packaging. Those are all great internal moments for a campaign. Pop culture, if there's something related to what's happening to your brand, you are a cybersecurity brand or a cybersecurity company, and perhaps you have a major cybersecurity breach happening across the country that gets everyone's attention. That, as negative as it may be, is an opportunity and a trigger for a campaign. So you start there, think about those sort of things, and then you align your brand with them, and you run those. That, along with a targeted list of people that you want to go after, is how you kind of start turning social into a demand channel and not just there for the brand awareness.
There's intentionality to everything you mentioned, right? It's tied to an event. It's tied to a campaign. It's tied to a culture and what's happening. And I think so many people just do social because they're like, oh, I know I need to post once a day, or I need to post at least once a week. And it's like, just being there isn't enough. There has to be some intentionality behind it as well.
Totally agree.
You mentioned you don't like to straddle the fence. So I'm going to give you the ultimate non-straddling opportunity here, Darian. What's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
I think the most unpopular opinion I have, maybe it's because I'm talking about social, which is like really preaching my book right now, is that social should drive demand. I think that social media programs that are built solely for driving awareness are almost always destined to fail. And the reason is not that they don't achieve their objective, but that they're almost always misaligned. And I'm using those words intentionally, almost always, not always, but almost. They are misaligned with the business objectives. And a CEO is looking for pipeline and growth and things like that. The CMO is going to be held to that. And the social media team is posting for likes and comments and laughing emojis. It's not aligned. That's probably my most unpopular, and it's mostly unpopular with other social media managers. It's not incredibly unpopular with senior leadership, but unpopular nonetheless.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good starting point, right? Let's get everybody's cards on the table first and understand what everybody's like going for here, and then you can have the conversation and realign from there going forward. But I think there's probably some truth to that. And I like that you said it was your most unpopular opinion, as if you have many unpopular opinions. So maybe we'll have to do a follow-up episode and dig into the bag there.
And or just read my Twitter. I probably have said something much stronger than that on Twitter. But yeah.
All right, well, that's a perfect segue then. If people want to learn more from you, Darian, learn more about Antidote, or learn more about your unpopular opinions, where's the best place to find you, and what's the best way to follow you?
Best place to find my unpopular opinions are Twitter, at Darian Payton, LinkedIn, again, at Darian Payton. And then if you want to learn more about Antidote, antidotemedia.co is our website.
Well, Darian, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to following along more on social. And until next time, same place. Cheers.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.